For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Okay, so I like it that there's still some young people in here, because you probably have never heard this story before. Some of the people who've gone to church for a long time, they know this story, and so whenever if I try to tell it, they might be saying, oh, you really don't have to go into that much detail because I've heard it before. But you guys probably haven't heard it, so it gives me a license to elaborate a little more on it. So he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. So here's, as we start the scripture, here's what's happening. Let me start by saying next week should be a Thanksgiving message, and it should be a really, probably preaching about, what do you think I'm probably preaching about next Sunday? Being thankful? I hope so. This is another tough one that God has given me today. I could pick good and easy scriptures to preach from, but this is just another tough one he's given me today. So this guy, Jesus is telling a story about a guy. So this didn't really happen, but Jesus is saying, let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. And the reason that Jesus starts to tell this story is you go back to chapter 19, and Peter is saying, hey, Jesus, we left everything to follow you. Do you remember when we were along the water and we were making a perfectly good living fishing and you said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men? And Jesus, I'm just assuming that a little more took place than what it says in the scripture. And Jesus would say, yeah, I remember that. And Peter says, well, listen, we left everything to follow you. Isn't there going to be something special for us? Some kind of special reward for us? And Jesus would have been perfectly within his right to do a get behind me Satan right there to Peter. Because he did that before. He said to Peter, he rebuked Peter. But he doesn't rebuke Peter here. He says, yeah. He said, actually, there is going to be something special for you. But you better be careful what you wish for. And it's not special as you think. Because he says, Jesus says, some of the people who are first in this life are going to be last, and some of the people in last in this life are going to be first in the kingdom of heaven. And so he says, so then that leads him to tell this story about this guy who owned a big vineyard. And this guy went into the marketplace, into town, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, he rounds up a bunch of people to go to work for him that day. And he says to the people, I will pay you a denarius. And a denarius, I did some research on this. It's really hard to tell you exactly what a denarius is in monetary terms today. But basically, it's a day's wages. Okay? So a typical laborer, that's the wage they would expect to make in a day, a denarius. And it was really a coin, and it was made out of silver. And it's really funny because I did some more research on it. And as time went by, does anybody know that a Hellman's mayonnaise jar used to be 32 ounces, now it's 30? Yeah, and they don't lower the price. With a denarius, it used to be a coin made out of so much silver. And then as time went by, they started putting less and less silver in the coin. Isn't that funny? So Hellman's didn't get this idea out of nowhere. The denarius used to be so much silver, and then it became smaller and smaller amounts of silver. But this guy says, I'll pay you one day's wages, a denarius, to come to work in my vineyard. And a bunch of people said, okay. So it'd be like, let's say, this row right here, you said, yes, we'll go to work in your vineyard for a denarius. And we're going to work 12 hours. That's the work day that they were talking about. So you guys are at work in the field. You've been at work for a while. About the third hour, so you guys went to work at 6 a.m. Now what time is it? about 9 o'clock. So about 9 o'clock, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, he's obviously got a really big vineyard. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever's right. So the people behind you, that's like the 9 o'clock crowd. And you guys are going to go out and work for about 9 hours. And you don't know what you're making, but he says, I will pay you what's right. Other versions of the scripture says, I'll pay you a fair wage. So they went, and he went out about the 6th hour and the 9th hour and did the same thing. You following me here? So he goes out at 6 o'clock in the morning, tells people, I'll pay you a denarius to come to work in the field today. And you guys say, okay, and then you go to work. And then at 9 a.m., he goes and gets some more and says, I'll pay you a fair wage. And they say, okay. He goes out at noon and 6 hours into it, and these people are going to work for 6 hours. And they say, okay, I assume that you're a fair man. You're going to pay us a fair wage. Other people, 9th hour. If you guys are the 9th hour people, how many hours are you going to work today? 3 hours. I'm going to work 3 hours today. I don't know what I'm going to make, but I assume that he'll be fair. So he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, I saved that for you guys. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? My friend Tom Beckett, who preaches down in Logan, West Virginia, I heard him preach about this 6 months or a year ago. I heard him preach this scripture. And I don't remember, just like you don't remember a lot of stuff that I preach about, I don't remember, I watch Tom's sermons every week. I don't remember a lot of them. But I remember this, because he said, this 11 o'clock people, these are the people who would be smoking cigarettes and drinking Mountain Dew out in front of the convenience store. They're still there at the 11th hour, because they don't even really want to work. Just save this for you guys. You might call them lazy. And he says, what are you still doing here? Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. They could have probably also said, well, because we just didn't really want to go out and look for work. Or when people came and said, who wants to work? We never raised our hands. But no, they do what we all do. What do? Blame it on somebody else because they wouldn't hire me. Because no one's hired us, they answered. And he said to them, ha, 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 be careful what you ask for. They're figuring it's 5 o'clock, there's only 1 hour left. And he says, well, come to work for me for 1 hour. And so they go. Some of you have heard this story. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first ones hired. Okay, so we hired you guys first and worked our way around, but you're going to get paid last today. We're going to start with these people. And as they walk up, if you don't know, you who know the story, forget about you. You who don't know, you don't know the story, right? What do you think you're going to make today? I don't know. It's like if it was a dollar, you figure maybe I'll make a dime. I mean, I know that's not very much money, but at that time, a bunch of money. You figure maybe I'm going to make a dime. Well, have I got good news for you? The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each one received a denarius. Do you hear that? How much is that? That's a whole day's wages. You guys worked for 1 hour and you made a whole day's wages. Is that awesome? Now, what are you guys expecting? Now, what did you agree to work for? A denarius, a day's wages. However, because they got, you know, if you figure $100 for a day's wages now, if they got $100 for an hour, surely if that's a fair landowner, right? Are you going to get a little more than a denarius now? You're tweeting out to your friends, lucky day, hashtag lucky day. I'm going to make 12 days wages for working one day. You are. That's what they're thinking. I got bad news for you. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more. See, you all came up and you expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Keep in mind here, Jesus is telling a story to the disciples, a made-up story, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like people who jumped on board early and people who came in at the 11th hour, they're all receiving the same thing. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Do not tell me that you would not have been grumbling, even though you got exactly what you were promised. I would have been, I admit it. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, the landowner, the vineyard owner, said, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Bonnie, didn't you? You did. And what did I give you? A denarius. Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. I remember when I was working at McDonald's. That's where Diane and I met. We met at McDonald's. We weren't eating there. We were working there. And I was an assistant manager going to college, and she was an employee there, and I made out the schedule. And I would often schedule her with me to work because she was a hard worker. Yeah, right. Are you calling her lazy? She was a hard worker. But I'm getting off track. I remember training videos that we had to watch for McDonald's when we worked there. And McDonald's used to have this song. First of all, does anybody remember the McDonald's commercials where, if you do, you're AARP age like me, where you got change back from your dollar? Young people, McDonald's used to run these commercials when they would have, and they, it would be hamburger, french fry, and a soft drink, and you would get change back from your dollar. Seriously, right? Some of you AARPers. And I remember watching these training videos. And it was, even then, in the early 80s, we were making fun of that because you didn't get change back from your dollar. You know, it might have been $1.89 for a hamburger, fry, and a drink. And one of the songs that McDonald's would sing in their advertising was, does anybody know where I'm going? You deserve a break today, so get up and get away to McDonald's. Does anybody remember that? Okay. Some of you young people, you're going, That would have never worked. It did work. Obviously, for the last 30 or 40 years, the phrase, you deserve, must have been doing very well in focus groups. Because you can find, you know, lawyers get on TV and say, let us help you get the money that you deserve. Denied for Social Security disability benefits. Let us help you get the money you deserve. You can find hair electrolysis places that say, you deserve a hairless body. People who are trying to sell you stuff want you to think you deserve it. And it's one way that they get you to spend more money than you should be spending on something that you don't really need, but that you deserve. We're all on the same page, right? So as I mentioned, this story that Jesus is telling comes on the heels of Peter saying, we deserve something a little special because we're like in on the ground floor. You know, you were like nobody when you came to us, and we still followed you. Now you're doing all these miracles and signs and wonders, and everybody's coming around, sure. But, hey, we've been here since the beginning. And it made me think, surely you guys wouldn't begrudge a little something extra if God gave me something extra, right? I'm a preacher. I mean, for the last going on 8 years... If you have an emergency at the middle of the night, in the middle of the night, and you call me, call my house phone. Okay? This is not a joke. It's on the front of the bulletin. I still have a house phone. Kids, what that means is that there's phone lines that run to your house, and you actually have a phone that you pick up in the house. Some people still have those. I do. And my number's on the front. Parsonage. That's my home number. See, I have to turn my cell phone on silent overnight because sometimes people send me text messages at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not up at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I turn my phone down to vibrate. So if you need to get a hold of me, this is serious. In the middle of the night, call my house line because... you can't text it, so nobody ever calls me or texts me on that line. You can't text on home phones like I was telling you about. That's why none of the young people have them. All right, where was I? In the middle of the night, I have gone out before, and there was a girl named Heather who was in a dune buggy go-kart thing, riding around in a parking lot with somebody else really fast. They did a really sharp thing, rolled it. And does anybody know what a compound fracture is? Anybody doesn't? Compound fracture doesn't mean it's broke twice. That's what it sounds like it would mean. It means there's a bone sticking out. So she had a bone sticking out of her arm. I hear you. Ugh. So in the middle of the night, they'll do surgery if it's a compound fracture because they have to, obviously. If it's just broken, they're not going to call the doctor in the middle of the night. You'll wait till tomorrow or something, or they might have some. But this required surgery. So at Cabell Huntington Hospital, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm there with Heather's parents and her grandparents, and we're praying for her to get that arm fixed up. And it would be easy for me to say, hey, Jesus, see what I did? I was at the hospital, and Cabell Huntington was an hour and 15-minute drive from our house. I've been coming home from the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning and almost hit a cow before. One time, and I called 911 and said, there's a cow, somebody's going to hit it, and it's going to be ugly. And they said, oh, that's old Phillips cow. I'll call him and tell him to get it in again. And I'm going, that cow should not be out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right? It's dangerous. Hey, Jesus, how about a little something extra for me? Right? And then we've got Well, let me sort of stick with the script here. You ever been to Chuck E. Cheese's? I had my 25th or 26th birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. I remember this because I did. I seriously did. They were doing like, and Andy is 4, and Scott is 25. Hey, if you go at 25, you're not normally afraid of the mouse. This was before Adam was born, so I know it was like, because I don't remember how old I was, but like 28 when Adam was born, 27, 28. So it was 25th, 26th birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. But if you've never been to Chuck E. Cheese, Dave and Buster's, you know the places that you go, and you play the games, and you get the tickets, and if you get 100 tickets, you can get the little plastic dinosaur, right? I mean, you see the teddy bear, and you're thinking, if I stay here for 6 years, I could get 5,000 tickets, right? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we in the church, now it's all been funny until now, sometimes we at the church act as if there's going to be a heavenly jewel crown shopping spree when we get done on earth. And we're going to walk around and we're going to say, oh, that one's pretty. That jewel for my crown. What does it take to buy that one? And they say, oh, it takes 4 Sundays working in the nursery. And you'd say, give me one of those. I did that. And you'd say, oh, this one over here is beautiful. Well, that's 1 year straight without missing church. And you say, forget that. Can't get that one. See, we act like it's going to be like Chuck E. Cheese, and we get this great reward for everything we did on earth for Jesus. Do you see what he's saying here? And the truth is that my reward, being a pastor, going to the hospital at 3 a.m., swerving to miss cows on the side of the road at 2 a.m., coming back from a family where someone had just died at the hospital, my reward is the same as my sister-in-law's reward, who accepted Jesus the Tuesday before she died on Thursday, about 48 hours. It reminds me of this thing that we should think about bringing to the church. It's several thousand dollars. Has anybody ever heard of Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames? Do you remember it, Adam? We went to St. Mary's to see it. Anybody ever heard of it? We need to bring it here. It's called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And the church people put it on, and sometimes it'll run somewhere for 2 weeks. Hundreds of people come every night. Word spreads. It's like plays at the front of the church. And I remember this one skit from this play. And there was this steel beam, and it was being held up by a cable. And there were 2 guys on it eating lunch. And one of the guys is talking to the other guys about Jesus, and the other guy accepts Jesus right there on that beam. And then, as luck would have it, what do you think happened? Beam gave way, the guys fall, boom. And then the spotlight comes off, and then the spotlight shines to, these guys are standing before an angel with the book of life, saying, and so the guys are talking, and there's a few other people there too who are right there to see if their name's in this book. And the guy says, one person says to the guy who just accepted Christ on that beam, he said to the guy, I've been a Christian for 64 years, and I'm expecting good things here. How long have you been a Christian? And the guy said, about 5 minutes. And what Jesus says in this scripture is what? Same. It's the same. So that if I'm a preacher as my friend Rondell Browning was for 60 years, so that if Betty Goff, who plays the organ and started playing the piano when she was 14, and I heard this morning that she's 79 now. Don't tell her I told you that. But doing the math, she's been playing for 65 years in church. 65 years! And she said when she first started playing at 14 years old, she had to walk a mile to church to play, and then she had to walk a mile home. And then they had Sunday night worship. And so then she had to walk a mile on Sunday evenings, and what? Walk a mile home. She said, I walked 4 miles a day to play the piano twice a day. Now, this is very good news if you are an 11th hour worker, right? If you're one of the ones who gets in right under the wire, who sees the elevator doors closing and whoosh, you have to turn sideways to get in. Isn't this good news for you if you're one of those people? Yes. So if you feel like I'm too old or I'm too far gone, or then this scripture says baloney. The reward's the same for you. This is very difficult news for someone who's played the organ for 65 years and who thinks that perhaps that has got them into something special with God. Can you see this? It's bad news for that person. Now, you know what the people who get in at the last minute miss? They miss the joy of the Lord their whole life. Wouldn't you say, Hugh? Yeah. They miss a whole life of being able to say, Jesus, I can't handle this. Help me. Help me, Lord. That's what they miss. In eternity, they miss nothing. Here's my closing argument. Not closing line. Here's my closing argument. Anybody who calls themselves a child of God is only a child of God by God's grace. You see, Jesus has paid for a lifetime of service to Him in advance with the promise that you will have eternal life and that He will never leave you and never forsake you. Oh, I don't want to say that. Ray, if I'm not mistaken, you do the little mailboxes out here. Do you take care of those? Ray Cheney? Yeah. Oh, no. Even worse. Okay, with all that I've said, this is just coming to my mind. I didn't have this written down in my sermon, and there's a problem with that. Who doesn't have a box out there? Even if you're new, who doesn't have a box out there? There you go. There you go. There you go. Who else doesn't have a box out there? There you go. 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 You see where I'm getting at with this? We have a problem out there because nothing to me screams insider, outsider in our church more than that. People who have a box, and I know it's not the intent. Someone tell me they understand. I know it's not the intent to exclude anyone. But we do. And it's like insider, outsider. Hired early in the morning, hired 11th hour. When do the 11th hour people get a box? I don't know what the answer is. I just have an ability, maybe because I'm still fairly new here, to see things from the perspective of the 11th hour hirees. I myself am sort of an 11th hour person. I didn't become a Christian until 2000. I've only been a Christian 14 years. I guess the only reason I'm even on the inside is because I became a pastor. I just want us to see things from the perspective of the 11th hour people. I don't want to feel like, and I'm the pastor, but I don't want to feel like that I deserve anything that the newest person that's come to Christ or to come to this church doesn't deserve. Do you see what I'm saying? We are all just saved by God's grace. And if we've been saved for 50 years or 15 years or 15 minutes, it's all the same. And it's great news to you who need Christ today. That you say yes to Christ today, and He says you get the same rewards as that never being quiet, talking too long preacher up there. The same reward as me. The same reward as me who goes out at 3 o'clock in the morning to be with someone who's having emergency surgery. See? But when you don't count it a cost to go and do God's work, you're not looking for extra reward. Right? When you count it a blessing to be able to do the Lord's work, you're not looking for extra reward. You say, "Thank you, Lord, for choosing me." You say what they say in Luke 17:10. When you've done all that you were supposed to do, you say, "I am just an unworthy servant." And you don't say it with false humility. You say it knowing God could have chosen anyone to do it. And He chose you. Let's pray. God, it was certainly not my intent to hurt anybody's feelings today, and I pray that everyone knows that. I want the new people here to know, the new people in the church, the new Christians, God, I want them to know that their reward is the same as mine. Eternal life and foreverness with you and your son Jesus, and however that's going to work, I don't know. But God, I pray this is an encouraging word to all of us. That we are all, without you, we are beggars at the gate, helpless and hopeless. But you invite all who will come to become children of God. You invite all who will come to be saved by Jesus Christ. And God, I can't imagine that we don't all have some family who would be considered 11th hour hires. And I know that we wouldn't begrudge them. So I pray as we see beggars on the street, beggars in Cumberland, people along interstates with signs, I pray that you would help us to have compassion on them. And I don't know even what that means, Lord. I pray that as we have people enter these church doors with problems, pray that you would help us to have compassion for them and not look down on them. And I pray even as longtime Christians have struggles and problems, that you would help us to have compassion. And I thank you for saving me. And I thank you for saving each person here who belongs to you. And for those who don't, God, for those who are hearing today that it doesn't matter where they are in their life and it doesn't matter what they've done, I pray that they heard today that they can become an insider with you, that they can be forgiven of their sin no matter what they've done, and that you will turn their life around. And it doesn't make done things undone, and sometimes it doesn't even change the consequences, but I pray that people here today who need you, I pray they would pray, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead. And I believe that he will forgive me of my sins if I ask. And so I'm asking, forgive me of my sins. And help me to live as your child and honor you in all I do. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray for lifelong workers of the church, that they would continue plodding along, finishing the race that you have set out before them, remembering that it is your grace that even allows us to work for you. So I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.